Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
It's that little Chico Pitbull, Mr. 305, but it said Mr. Worldwide, and you already know what it is. Listen to my new podcast, From Negative to Positive. Subscribe today. Now, part of the things that we're doing over here at Negative to Positive is encouraging people to change their lives, change the things that are within their power. I want to thank our good friends at KFC for helping me bring this to you. Feed your whole crew with KFC. Let's go. I can get the KFC bucket of chicken, and you know, that's fire. Now, Babo, you know that you could get that mac and cheese, that mashed potato, gravy, those biscuits. Now, that's trouble right there. That is fire right there. You know, on Negative to Positive, we always talking about striving and achievement. And the Colonel Sanders story is a story that inspired me since I was 10 years old. Look how our life comes full circle. Now I'm talking about Colonel Sanders and Kentucky Fried Chicken and how much I love it. Listen to my new podcast, From Negative to Positive. Check out the vodcast. Subscribe today. Apple Podcast, Podcast One, Spotify.
Does anybody want breakfast? Guys, let's go. I'm leaving for McDonald's in 5 seconds.
Why didn't you start with that?
The Breakfast Stampede Meal. It's only at McDonald's, where there's a meal for every morning.
And nothing says morning like a classic sausage McMuffin with egg. Right now, get this all-time favorite for just $2 on the $1-$3 menu. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
John Rocha and Matt Nost are here to bring you the top 10.
Welcome to this week's Top 10 show. Look at this. This is crazy, huh? I'm opening it up this week because John is a little bit hoarse. He's a little under the weather, so to speak. But he's troopering through like a damn soldier. I am one of your two hosts, Matt Nost, joined by the always.
The outlaw, John Rogue. How are you, everybody?
Oh, I like it.
I just got back from interviewing Clint Eastwood, so I'm full in cowboy mode. What a great situation to interview him from Richard Jewell. But I rushed over the hill back from the Four Seasons so I could do the show. And my throat is terrible. I'm sorry. I got over this cold. But I coughed my lungs out last night, and it tore my throat up. So I'm going to do the best I can.
Yeah, do the best you can.
Yeah.
Don't worry. We can also, like, try and keep it low tones, you know, be soothing on both of us. I don't feel like I need to get so loud, so that way you're not stressing. You got a lot of talking to do tonight.
My worry is that as I get lower, I'll lose letters in a word or a word. Sometimes when I get too low, it's like.
Yeah, but I love it when my voice is raspy like that. Because it's just, it so rarely happens. Like, you wake up from back in the day, a night of drinking, and I used to smoke too. And it's just a full pack and a half night, plus a ton of beers, and you wake up and just like the smoothest R&B bass line singer for that first like 4 hours. You're like, I wish this would just stay all the time. But it's so throaty and thick, and you're like, this is.
Oh yeah, the next day after being drunk is the greatest voice. You're just like,
sometimes,
hey, what's going on, everybody?
Yeah. You had a hell of a night.
Yeah.
A lot of screaming, a lot of everything else. You taxed the hell
out
of it.
I'll take the 2 liter and the pizza, please.
He's like, no, I want my coffee black. Of course he does. Listen to the man. He's had a hard life. I don't have those mornings too much anymore.
Who'd you have in here before when you were dropping dimes? It's hot as fuck in here. Who did you have in here?
Makuga came in and did something else
Makuga
in between.
And Cody.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cody. Okay, so they brought the fire to the NFL.
It's not like he's still in the booth.
No,
you know what I mean? So we can say whatever
we want
about
him. Yeah, but Cody only starts us off, then he leaves. Remember when they used to stay and watch our show and laugh their butts off?
Well, I think that they were, unfortunately, they forced to be in there on some level.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess
paid
part of their
to
job.
Be in the room.
Yeah.
But we made their job fun.
I feel like we did. Yeah.
That's all I know.
Anyway, how are you, man? How are things? What's going on?
I'm good. You know, holidays are coming way quicker than we anticipated.
No shit.
So it's just trying to get everything done in these last like 2.5 weeks before a big chunk of everybody I know is going to be gone and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's like life shuts down on some level.
LA gets crazy around the holidays, man. It gets crazy and then it's dead.
Well, last year was the first year I've been here at Christmas in a long time.
It was pretty weird, right?
It's
totally dead.
It's all the stuff that everybody says. It's like when you're here on Thanksgiving. But Christmas is even bigger.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody's from here, so the town shuts down.
Yeah.
And all industry stops basically calling out people for callbacks and all that stuff by the second week of December.
Yep.
Like, you get those random late auditions going into, but everybody's kind of like, meh.
Yeah.
I've had some before where I had the callback while I was out of town. It's like, oh, the callback will be on the 27th. I'd be like, nobody's going to be here. Why are you doing – I got chewed out once. I was on the mountain – At the top of the mountain, good cell reception. My phone starts buzzing because I have it hooked into speakers in my helmet.
Yeah.
Damn. Oh, it's not really. It's, dude, you buy the adapter, you put it in there. You take two of those, you know, those old foam disky ones?
Oh, yeah.
So I bought the best version of those, and I took off the plastic strapping and then just put those in the earmuffs. Because they have flaps where you can unzipper it, and you can buy their version, pay $180, $200 for it, or you can get something that's equivalent for $17 and just do it yourself.
Wow. Okay.
But I got a phone call at the top of the mountain, and I was like, hello? And it was my agent. He was like, you have a call back today. I'm like, I told you three times before this I was leaving town. And I had booked like five jobs in the past 5 months with them. And I was like, I'm entitled to take time off. I told you I was going to be gone.
Yeah.
You work for me type of attitude, which I'm sure you've been through.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
When you're starting out, unless you have like a strong sense of self, agents know they can push you around or guilt you.
Drive to everywhere.
Frustrate. Yeah, right. Drive you. Like, oh, you get that 2 o'clock call for the 4 o'clock Santa Monica audition or 5 o'clock Santa, and you're like, oh, God damn it, cross town traffic.
You do it.
But you do it because you want to show your agent that you're willing to put that extra effort in. But as you start booking things and you get more, you start to realize, wait, they think they can still use the same tactics on you over and over again.
Yeah.
And that's when you start to push back. You'd be like, no, I made you some goddamn money. Calm down.
Yeah, when you get sent to crash auditions, but they've gone to the full digital system, so there is no crashing anymore.
Oh, yeah.
That happened to me a few times.
Yeah. The worst is when they send you something and they make it seem like it's a big deal, and you show up, and it's a fucking cattle call. That's the worst. That's when I remember walked in. I knew when I was near the end of doing acting, I walked into a commercial audition, and there was like 150, 120 people. And I walked in. I was like, fuck you. Turned right around, got in my car, called my agent. I go, don't you ever in your fucking life send me to a goddamn cattle call audition again.
Were you union or non?
Union.
Okay, well then, yeah.
I was like, I booked a shit ton of nationals. This is ridiculous.
But at the very least, then it should be run like a union. It's one of those things if you never sign out when you're over the hour, if it happens to go over, because
you're supposed to. Right.
But that's got to piss off the casting director.
Of course.
I only did it one time ever because the callback was on a Saturday, and I had to be there at 10 a.m., and I sat there for 90 minutes, and the casting director, I liked the place, and I went there all the time, but it was somebody I never saw there, and he was an asshole. And I just walked out. I was like, you know what? Fuck you. I'm signing out for the first time ever. And I've been on, I don't know how many hundreds of auditions and callbacks.
Right, right.
This is the only time it's ever had. But I couldn't wait to go union.
Yeah.
As soon as I got my second job and I could afford it, boom, there's your dues. I'm not going to any more non-union bullshit ever again. It was worth it. And I didn't care that took away, at that time, like half my auditions. I was like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Because they don't give a flying F about your time.
Oh, no. Non-union will give a shit about you.
I have sat there, and that's what.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about the eagerness before. Mm-hmm. I've sat at it before where I've been waiting for 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
And just waiting and waiting. And they're like, you can't get mad because you're like, look, I committed to doing this. So I'm just going to accept that this is happening.
Right.
And it gets done when it gets done.
When I was doing voiceovers more consistently at William Morris, I was going in for auditions all the time. Mm-hmm. Right? Same thing. Even though union doesn't matter, you would sit in the waiting room for 3 hours sometimes to do a voiceover audition.
It's bananas.
And the thing is, and this is not – I'm not trying to bash any of my fellow voiceover auditioners, but some people who do voiceover get super fucking anal about one word on the second page and the seventh paragraph down, and they just have to do multiple takes to get this right because they think if they get that one word right, it's going to book them the fucking job. And every casting director you go to says voiceover guy, within 30 seconds – they know if you're the right voice or not.
Of course, it's a voice.
Within 10, they know if you're the right voice. So for you, obsessing on the second page of the copy of whatever you're auditioning for is ridiculous. I sat in one time with a friend of mine, and she did 7 takes of one line. And I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And I'm making an effort to get in and get out of the audition booth as quickly as possible.
I understand needing, like, if you really flub.
Right.
If you, especially coming out of the gate of... You know, there's 2-3 points you got to get too quick and whatever. They get jumbled. But so long as – the way I always did, I didn't do VOs, but you ever walk into an audition and it seemed to happen with insurance a lot. And you had to explain like umbrella coverage. I remember one where specifically you walked in. They didn't send a side before, but it was a union job.
Yeah.
But I had a full page written out on a board that I had to memorize as best – not memorize, but you know, you need to sell this because you're looking straight down the barrel of the camera the whole time, breaking the fourth wall. So there is no looking to the side, Brando style. And so I just break it down into an outline in my head and go, I'm not going to get all the words right, but I know I need to hit these complicated things. little things, and I'll dance around.
Right.
And you flub up, but with VO, it's such the voice.
That's what it is. You got to nail it within the first 10 to 30 seconds or else they're not going to want you.
Makes sense.
I was always blown away by that. That's why when I got my shit, I could audition at home. I auditioned at home.
Oh, yeah.
It was the best audition at home because no one's a harsher critic of my voice and my intention in the lines and getting them right than I am. So listening back to myself. But even then, I talked to a dude who, it was worse for him to do it from home. He was doing, 37 takes of a fucking line.
Yeah, I could see that, too.
Because he was, so fucking anal about it.
Because you can be.
Yeah, right. I was never like that.
Some people need these. Another person puts a limit.
Yeah.
Just this is all you can do it. You can do it this many times.
Yeah. I pride myself, when I do stuff for Crypt TV, I pride myself that I can do an entire page without breaking.
Okay.
And do it correctly. Because it's better for the editors, right?
Sure.
They don't want to go line by fucking line.
Yeah.
If you do it correctly, it's easier for them to edit within. So I try to be really good at doing that. And if I mess up the take, then I go back and do it again. If I have to do section by section, I'll do that too. But I really try to do it one whole page, move on to the next page. It makes it easier. And I'm done auditioning or I'm done recording in 30 minutes and I've made $600. So it's not a negative.
Yeah. Oh, easy peasy.
Exactly.
Easy peasy.
Anyway.
Long as you have the talent, then
and the skill. Yeah.
Yeah, you worked on it. It's not like it's all.
Yeah. Skill is really the biggest part of anything, man. Really is. Talent will get you so far.
Darn tootin'. So we had trouble coming up with the topic for Jumanji this week. We batted around a couple different ones. That's why you're looking at ensemble comedy, because we thought about doing ensemble action or a few other variations playing within, because that's been, working well for us. We find these little interesting hooks, as opposed to just going, well, I can't do The Rock.
Right.
We didn't even discuss doing individual.
I know. I always put that out of my head because you can't. He hasn't done enough movies that you've seen. I don't think you've even seen 10 movies of The Rock.
No.
Yeah, see? So we can't do it.
Because all the ones where it's just I went and saw it because you enjoy that type of action film from him. That's
right,
fine.
Right, right, right.
I get the appeal of the guy. Yeah. He's never bad in these bad movies.
No, he's not.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's always The Rock, and then sometimes The Rock's in a good movie.
Right.
That's how he exists in my head. He's always The Rock. It's inevitability of cinematic life at this point.
I love it. Anyway, yeah, so.
So we went with comedy ensemble for this one.
Yeah.
And it's a definition of what ensemble means to you.
Yes.
Two, because there is no set definition of what an ensemble is, technically.
Right. I guess so. Ooh, well, look at you already creating the parameters to cheat around.
It's not really cheat. There are some exceptions, but I weighted accordingly and had variations into, how I legislated this list.
For me, if it was at least four more, it's an ensemble.
Okay. I'm a little bit more fungible on a couple movies.
Fungible, you mean like smaller than four?
No, fungible. Malleable.
Oh, malleable. Okay.
I tried to go with larger as best
fair
I could.
Enough, fair enough.
But some which is like, okay, well, all the this, that's, and the others in this one are bouncing around.
Yeah,
it's focused on maybe select individuals. But
right.
Every person that comes in is fantastic, and you remember them just as well as that.
Yeah.
So that to me isn't. It's a division of if it's the guy singularly and all the other actors are they're helping him along.
Right.
As opposed to adding to and creating a fuller environment. It's to me, then it's all of their movie.
Yeah.
On some level.
That's a fair point.
I'm not blaming the other actors in those movies. Just different directors and writers require different things to tell their story.
Yeah.
Some are better at it than others. But anyway, so
That's how we did it.
And once we set a topic, we go our individual ways and create personal top 10 lists. Show back up here. I do my bottom three. He does his bottom three. I do my next two. He does his next two. Then we trade one apiece. Once we revealed our personal top 10 list, we create the shows between the two of us.
Boom.
Stumbled ever so slightly. Number 10 for me
is
Best in Show.
Oh, good choice. Didn't make my list. Damn,
didn't make
that's
your
a
list?
Good choice.
I've seen it a lot of times.
Yeah.
A lot of times.
It's such a funny movie.
It is. It's got all these little eccentric characters that in lesser hands would feel annoying.
Yes.
And in Chris Guest's, they're all kind of delicately balanced. They all have their own amount of screen time. Nobody really dominates. They just dance around in this weird little Westminster dog show wannabe people as they move up through the ranks. And that is a weird subculture. Everybody gets into random things in life. But having the best show dog?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's an interesting I like it because of what you get with the fact that as much as they make fun of people, and this is what is so great about Christopher Guest's movies, as much as he makes fun of people, he still reveres them or still has a certain level of respect for them, because the caricatures are never without heart and never without some kind of vulnerability to them. Mm-hmm. And even if it's not spoken, sometimes it's just a shot where the camera hangs on the person after the interaction has happened.
Sure.
And they kind of like don't know what to do or don't know what to say or seem a little hurt but don't want to show it.
Okay.
Like, oh, wow, this is really cool. You know, and so like Jennifer Coolidge and Jane Lynch when they're having their lesbian relationship.
Yeah.
With that, all of that, the old dude, like all of that.
You flash over to, why am I going to blank on her name? The super uptight yuppie couple. I'll never remember his name.
Yeah, Mary Louise Parker. Is that what you're talking
about? No. It's a... oh my God, she has not stopped work. It's another three-parter, I believe.
Oh, okay. Her name's another three-parter? Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Oh, man. I'll look it up. That's going to drive me nuts. I apologize.
My favorite sequence is I like the peanut, the chestnut, all kinds of nuts.
Chris guessed, that slow hound dog.
Yeah.
He's got his.
As long as he can go with those nuts, I was like surprised at how long he could go with that. It was one of the funniest things in the world. But you have like, Catherine. Oh, jeez. Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hara?
O'Hara, yeah.
Yeah, right. Those two with
it. Yeah.
Her stumbling.
Parker Posey. It wasn't a three-parter.
Parker Posey. Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. That's who I actually was thinking of, not Mary Louise Parker.
Yeah. It's
Posey.
The same. Yeah, it was the same roughly thing. Not really. No offense to you two fine actresses. They're both great.
Who happen to be listening or watching. Yeah, right.
Hey, listen, we got retweeted by
Patrick Schwarzenegger.
That's right. Shriver, according to Twitter.
That's true.
The at was Schwarzenegger, but the name on it, whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway,
it's
neither here nor there. Thank you. I hope your Daniel isn't real, is good, and does well.
Yeah. I'm supposed to interview him maybe for the deep cut about it. So we'll see down the road.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, we'll see.
It's him and Sarandon and Robbins. Mm-hmm. Is it Miles Robbins?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. It looks weird, too. A cool little different kind of weird film. So I'm excited for
it. Don't know anything about it. I've just seen the poster.
Yeah. It's like kind of like Mandy, the Nicolas Cage film.
Okay.
It's kind of had that vibe, apparently. So
okay.
I'm looking forward to that. What's your number nine?
My number nine is, wrong document. Okay, so here's one.
Okay.
Three Amigos.
Oh, okay.
It does kind of primarily, but because
it's
El Guapo,
yeah.
It is. El Guapo and the Villagers and whatnot, I'm going to count them as a fourth.
Sure.
And we get to a four. Trust me, I looked at that and I was like, that's why it's nine.
Yeah.
It could rate higher. If people want to take me to task and say it's not an ensemble, yes and no. They do spend a lot of time in that movie interacting with all the different villagers, mm-hmm. and then El Guapo and all his guys and whatnot. And there are times when they're alone, but I would say the bulk of the movie is them interacting with other people. It's always them with it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say it's a collaborative effort to make something that I think is a fantastic comedy. I hope people see it. It's ridiculous fun.
It is.
It's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking for some message movie, this is not it.
No.
This is an interesting little...
Oh, although I would say the song where they're singing to Martin Short, that's kind of a message.
But they have a couple small, and the little guy standing up against.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is something that should resonate more with you.
Yes, it does.
And they have to do this act out, and then Chevy Chase accidentally kills the invisible, the invisible singing man or whatever. Just ridiculousness left and right. Look up here.
I can't believe it worked. I just can't believe it worked.
I loved it as a kid, and I think it's even better as an adult.
Yeah.
My little buttercup. They're doing a little dance, but everything's these heinous Nazi murderers or whatnot. They're Germans coming through, so they're all like, hey, okay. It's so good.
Yeah.
smile. Oh, man, that movie. It kills me every time. But it is... Three is in the title.
Who directed that one, by the way? Was it Landis?
I think it is Landis.
Okay. All right. I got to look it up. I got to know. What's your number eight?
Pardon me? Number eight is Old School.
Old School. Wow. Shit. How did that not get on my list?
That's another where it's the three of them, but then all the other frat guys and Piven and whatnot.
Yeah.
They're bouncing off of one another, so I counted that one.
Okay. That's fair. I like the way I have different lists. It's cool.
Okay. Look, I think there's going to be one you have, and actually Mance, before you got here, was selling me on it.
Yeah, he was trying to sell you on it.
He asked me what was on my list, and then I started going through, and I was like, I bet you John may have this one. He's like, you don't have that? Come on.
Mm-hmm.
I explained my reasons. He's like, I understand what you're saying, but then he started trying to sell me on the comedy. I was like, I'm willing to relent a little bit. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
I love Old School. Old School's of that Will Ferrell era, that's still one of the ones that I like enjoy and revere because It's like Anchorman's so weird, and Blades of Glory is interesting, and
I didn't like Blades of Glory.
Ricky Bobby is funny though for weird things.
Yeah, that grew on me.
But Old School is the one that I love to pieces because
Frank the Tank.
So funny. It's just all around. It's so funny. And you've got this other, like, real story going on.
Yeah, with Luke Wilson.
Luke Wilson trying to get with what's-her-face.
And then Vince Vaughn just doing everything to get away from the married life that he doesn't want.
Yeah, right. And Will Ferrell not knowing what the hell he wants at all.
Yeah.
You know?
An immature guy. you're crazy, man. And he's been shot with that trank dart, and he falls into, what is it? Hello, darkness, my old friend.
Looking, Mrs. Whatever it's called, the graduate reference, yeah. Sean William Scott. You're crazy, man.
Yeah,
crazy.
With the mullet. you're crazy, man. That movie, it succeeds. It is to me, it cemented what I liked about Will Ferrell on SNL.
Yeah.
Because I think, doesn't this predate Anchorman?
Yeah, absolutely. This is the one that started it.
Yeah, it got him into leading status where you could do something like an Anchorman.
He's the one you were talking about when you left the theater.
He was, yeah. Just because he was so magnetic.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that I loved about him on SNL, because he'd just steal every scene without having to try. He wasn't going out of his way to be an asshole.
Right.
And you could see that from the other performers. They enjoyed performing with him because they felt that he more than likely got the best out of him.
Yeah.
Like they're going to create something really good because he's got a spark of something. He really does.
Yeah.
And in this, you see it. My favorite little tidbit, finding out years later when he's working on his Trans Am or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And she comes out to bring him a drink. When he turns to the neighbor, he's like, hey, Frank, or like whatever. It says, there's nobody over there. It was not in the script. He's just interacting with people that don't exist and trying to lead this fucking weekend warrior lifestyle. Oh, man.
It's ironic. Sorry. It's so ironic because the actress who plays his wife in that movie ends up playing Piven's wife in Entourage.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's Mrs. Ari. Yeah, that's right. That's right. So she had a little bit of a run for a while.
Wayne is in that, the KKK member next door.
Oh, yeah.
Or no, he's the blind guy with the dog. I think Wayne's the blind guy with the dog.
Yeah, maybe.
It's just ridiculous.
I love when Will's like has to regurgitate all that information. He said, what happened? I blacked out.
At the sport, athlete, Olympic, mathlete thing, whatever, this huge combined Billy Madison-esque, you got to pass the fourth grade in one go.
It was so ridiculous.
Yeah, it was. It was just but the perfect amount of ridiculous.
It is, and it still holds up. Having rushed a frat and been in a frat for like a year, there was a lot of that humor that totally fucking worked, man. Totally did.
I thought about it, but I never did it.
Yeah. I know you don't strike me as a frat dude, man. You're too rebellious. You can't put you in a fucking box. You wouldn't like it.
Well, I just didn't think the whole hazing to get into was worth it.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm sorry. Because I had
that's what I mean.
Two or three of them that I hung out with all the time. Mm-hmm. And there were these huge houses. And whatnot, like 100 dudes lived in these big mega like complex horseshoe things, and they have a courtyard in between.
Yeah.
It's like they replicated the same thing in a few different spots.
Right.
But it just comes out of the guys there. It's like, there's 6 to 8 of you that are just chill as hell. I like hanging out with you. And then eventually he's like, do you want to come? And it's like, I don't want to have to walk around with like egg in my hair, which I've seen other dudes, and they've been up for 48 hours and like that doesn't sound like a good time. I don't care what you're doing.
Hell Night was the worst. Getting inducted was the worst. You're up 48 hours. You are. And I don't care what anyone says. I don't care what fucking college you're from. There's a fraternity that does it. And they put you through hell.
Yeah, multitude.
They claim not to do it. Now, everyone has to, you know, keep quiet about it. But you go through it. And it was the worst ever, man. But the thing is, I should have never done it because, like you, I have that rebellious streak inside me, or this idea of being put in a box. And I remember I went at one of the brothers while I was rushing because he was saying something really fucking stupid. And I just was like, this is the dumbest thing I ever fucking heard of. You want me to honest truth? And then all the brothers were like, oh, man, you can't say that against – you're not even part of the world. You're
basically,
still rushing.
He's a made guy.
Yeah, he's a made guy. And I was like, this is so fucking stupid. So then I had to stand up in front of everybody and apologize for fucking calling this idiot out.
You broke the code of conduct.
That's right.
They all agreed to it. Then you got into the military.
Oh, yeah.
You know, talk about dumb money to be in a box.
But that's a, you're that's like, a separate
what's
situation.
Like you should be in a straitjacket in this box.
I like the military because – there are rebellious fuckers in the military, so you find your crew to hang with. And as long as you hit the basic things of what you're supposed to do, you can rebel within the system.
And I will happily say this. I'm not equating the two because the military is for an overall goal and a purpose.
Right.
So the hazing makes sense on some level because the ask of you in that job is the ultimate sacrifice.
They're trying to toughen you up for what may come. They're not trying to do it for kicks.
Exactly.
For shits just and be, giggles like most of these.
Oh, you want to have a rifle? Like, give me 100 push-ups in the mud, right? Like, no, this is not some bullshit.
Right.
Whereas to me, fraternity is just like, why are we putting ourselves through? It doesn't make a lick of sense.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Who's this enjoyable for?
Right.
Except the first group of guys that didn't have to do it and inflicted on the second group of guys.
Right.
That's the only people it's ever been fun for.
Well, you're an NBA guy. It's the same thing. Why do the rooks got to carry the bags? What's that all about?
Really, if that's the worst of your hazing,
I'm
that's not bad.
I'm just saying, why do they have to fucking do that shit?
Because it's an honor and privilege to be able to potentially make hundreds of millions of dollars. Carry a bag.
That's
carry
fair.
A bag. You haven't made it there
I
yet.
I get the logic. I'm just saying, you could, fraternity guys, it's an honor and privilege to wear the letters. You know, that's how microcosm they can be or whatever.
Talk to me when the legacy of who you are as an individual for the rest of your life is determined by what is the outcome of that.
That's a fair point.
If it's a frat, I don't know about how well your life went. You know? I'm not entirely sure because that is stagnation on a level that we all should grow past on happen.
You hope.
It's fine to carry some with you. Not a problem.
Yeah.
We are a collection of our memories and
we're
past experiences.
Levels. Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like Al Bundy holding on to scoring however many TDs it was in high school. Like, you got to grow up.
Yeah.
Leave childish things behind.
Some people hold on to things, man. Yeah. That's for sure.
Unless it's the legacy of the individual that you are. So that was my 8.
That's your 8 number. You're my boy, Blue. All right. My number 10, then, is Animal House.
Okay.
Yeah. It's one I still love. I know people maybe watching have issues with it now in 2019, but it's still a very funny movie.
I would assume most people would have it higher.
No, really? Maybe.
Yeah.
I dinged it for that. That's why it's lower for me because of those issues now. You go back and watch.
I don't think it's funny.
Oh, yeah. That's your problem. All right. That's your problem. That's what I would say.
Yeah.
Peter Riegert, Timothy – who's the main guy? Tim Matheson.
Oh, yeah. Tim Matheson.
Yeah.
Later went on to Fletch fame, baby.
He did. He
that's
did.
Right. I just saw
he
him
did.
On –
not that much later either, too. It was like
no, not that
much.
Just a couple years.
Yeah.
Shit. What was he on the other day? Oh. I'm watching Madam Secretary with my wife.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of her shows. So every once in a while, we're like, I'll watch that. Sure. We got nothing. We got nothing right now.
I wish I'd get into that, man. I want to get into
it's
it.
It's fine.
We'll see. I want to get
it's
into it.
It's good for a procedural CBS drama.
We need one that we can just go back to all the time. Because, like, our British shit is all, like, 3 episodes or whatever. So it's frustrating because it's over.
We're the same way.
Yeah, yeah.
The Office has become that. We need to find something else.
Okay.
But fair we've enough. Done long. I can't get her to do a long run of Cheers. She said she's not interested.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, if you're not going to want to do that, you don't want to do Frasier. Because I've never seen the full run of Frasier.
Oh, yeah.
I've never
Frasier's
seen the full
great.
Run of Cheers. I've seen most of them.
Yeah.
But there's got to be ones I've missed.
I'm sure.
Because I didn't. I just watched them because they were on repeat or I saw them at the time.
Right.
We watched West Wing.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
We
tried Succession. She was out 30 minutes into the first episode.
I
liked it.
I think I didn't like anybody. For episodes on that. And I stuck with it going, that has to be too good.
Yeah, that's her issue. She doesn't like anybody. She doesn't give a fuck about anybody
on
that show.
They're all terrible.
Yeah.
And if somehow the writing becomes so good that they warm to you. And now I enjoy – you accept them for their terrible nature.
Right.
It's really interesting. It's turned into must-see TV for me.
Nice.
This past season was
– I heard it's incredible.
Really good.
I turned her on to The Crown, finally.
That's good.
She watched season 3 with me.
Yeah. Same thing, though. It's 10 episodes. You barrel through
That's right. You barrel through. We did it in 2 days.
Done.
Yeah. It's
we tried to. It'd stop her at some points. But like, we're not watching another one because we don't have anything else.
You're scared.
So let's go and watch. We've gone back for like season 1 of Great British.
Oh, yeah. The Bake Off. Yeah, the Bake Off.
I've seen like season 3 through everything else, but 1 and 2 we haven't. So we've watched a few of those.
Bro, she hooked me onto that shit. I had no idea what that was.
That's
I know people
stuff.
Had talked about it. So we started when the new cast came in, the new two, the dude. And
oh, yeah.
Woman.
We talked about this a few months ago. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, but it's fantastic. Now I'll come into the living room and she's watching an episode from the first season of the second season.
Yeah.
I'm not like that. I can watch a movie a million times. But I can't go back and watch TV shows, episodes a million times. That's very rare for me. I rarely do that.
Yeah. Usually it's something like Deadwood for me.
Yeah. I'm not even that. And you know I love Deadwood to pieces.
Yeah.
It's not even that for me. It's like I will put on a movie way quicker than I'll put on a
season
TV show.
Season 1 of Rome, I can watch that.
It's a good season.
It is. And it's interesting.
I got to turn her on to that. She's never seen that. I got to turn her on to that. A lot of British
second season falls apart a little bit because
they
tried to cram too much into it.
Yep, agreed. Anyway, Animal House, Tim Matheson, Peter Riegert, whoever the guy that plays Niedermeyer, John Belushi, all those national
Kevin Bacon.
Kevin Bacon is in this thing. Dean Wormer. Bruce McGill,
who does Bruce McGill, yeah, good for you, good pull.
All those guys are in that damn thing. Oh, and Karen Allen, or Nancy Allen, right, from Raiders. She's in it.
What's his name that goes on to Amadeus? Do you ever say his name?
Oh, yeah, Tom Holtz. Right.
There you go.
And Stephen First, who plays Flounder. So it's a big ensemble of people.
It's huge.
And crazy stuff they get into, very funny stuff they get into. It's one of the best soundtracks that had come out in the 70s, in my opinion. And it was a blast. So I know maybe some people have troubles with it now, but I liked it. All right, my number nine is The Royal Tenenbaums.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought about it, but I couldn't do it.
It's my favorite ensemble from a Wes Anderson movie.
Okay. I don't have any because I struggle to – I like them.
Yeah.
I don't know if I go back to ever watch the quirkiness again type of thing.
Oh, wow.
Rushmore, okay. Yeah. I've seen that a bunch of times.
Rushmore's great. Yeah.
But it's not that big enough to be an ensemble.
This one is the one that's grown on me over the years.
Okay.
Like, when I first watched it, I was like, oh, this is cool. I didn't think twice about it. But as the years have gone on and as I've gotten older, I find myself sympathizing with the Gene Hackman character more and more.
Okay.
And then seeing the travails of the kids and what they go through, I find that more interesting to discover and explore. Whereas I hated Owen Wilson the first time I watched it because I was such a dick. As you get older, you're like, oh, yeah, I mean, there are guys like this. There are just people like this in the world, and what can you do? It's not sometimes it's not their own fault. They just have a self-destructive impulse within them. So all of that, and then the Ben Stiller thing, how super anal he is about because his wife died a certain way, so they all have to act a certain way. So it's just fantastic to see the exploration of – because you can see yourself in some of their characters.
Sure.
Like, what are my super anal shit that I do that if you broke it of me, I'd freak out or
yeah.
I'd be like – what's my OCD that would mess me up? So – all of it is in that, and the writing is fantastic. The voiceover from Alec Baldwin's incredible, and all around, I just think it's like maybe his best film. Maybe,
okay,
maybe you could make an argument. I mean, I like Moonrise Kingdom a lot. I like Grand Budapest a lot as well.
Yeah, Moonrise I thought was good.
Yeah,
I didn't love.
Do you have
it.
A favorite one? Do you have one you like? Did you like Fantastic Mr. Fox? Maybe.
Or? Well, I like that one a lot. Rushmore.
Yeah. Rushmore. Yeah.
Zissou, but I haven't seen that in a while.
Oh, yeah. That's such a weird one, man.
It is a weird one, but I like it. That was a full-fledged, like, I'm leaning into the quirkiness.
Yes.
And I liked it at the time, but I want to know if it holds up. Mm-hmm. And I've only seen bits and pieces since. I haven't sat down to rewatch it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's not a director that I do that a lot with.
Interesting, yeah.
But I'll do it with name almost any other of that kind of ilk,
right,
so to
right.
speak, where they have a distinct idea of their world, like Tarantino or the Coen brothers,
yeah.
or like I'm happy to go back to him for – I like his, and I find it fun and inventive, but I don't relive it.
He's almost too cute, maybe.
No, just a very specific
okay.
aesthetic style,
okay.
and I like – you know, the IC, at least to me, what you're doing with it and what you're trying to say with it.
Yeah.
And I acknowledge everything about it, and I do enjoy it, but
yeah.
I just don't – revisit.
Well, this one's Gene Hackman, Angelica Houston, Danny Glover, as I said, Ben Stiller, Owen Wilson, Gwyneth Paltrow, Luke Wilson. So many people in this ensemble all around. The Indian guy who's also in The Terminal. I always forget that actor's name. All around, just great stuff. And then the character actors that they get. Oh, Bill Murray's in this.
Yeah.
And then Bill Murray's like nerdy
the
fucking.
Therapist, isn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, therapist with Paltrow. But Bill Murray's nerdy fucking assistant is constantly following him around, recording everything. That guy, too. So. He just fills his movies with interesting actors doing interesting things, and so I like Tenenbaums there. My number eight is A Fish Called Wanda.
Okay. It was
yeah.
a close cut.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. This is one I still go back to because of the Monty Python vibe of it with John Cleese. But you have Jamie Lee Curtis. You have Kevin Klein. You have Michael Palin. You have the British dude who's the main guy of the crew trying to steal the lion.
I know.
I can't remember what his name is, but yeah.
Knock off Charles Bronson.
Yeah,
but
kinda.
He doesn't have the musculature type of thing. It's like, I don't know, but the English version.
Yeah.
So he looks like, what is it, the Good Friday, the Bob Hoskins? So like Bob Hoskins'
oh, yeah.
lieutenant is what he looks like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like somebody's not quite a boss, but he's close.
We're going to get the Jews. But I really – this is one that still works for me. Very funny. The physical comedy is funny. The dogs, what they go through is funny to me still. John Cleese is when he's going to Kevin Klein, going, kick your hide real good, all that. And then he starts – and then Kevin Klein to stutter. The stutter thing is just
making fun
genius.
Of Ken. Ken? Him going against Michael Palin,
oh,
isn't it?
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I didn't understand. I didn't like the character, but now that I know his breadth of work,
yeah.
and you go back and watch it, and you're like, "What a character!"
yeah,
so somebody good. With just a vicious stutter, and I mean, Klein is so good, man. He
yeah.
came out of the gate just
killed
crushing
it.
From day one.
Yeah,
it's interesting that he just. I don't know. It seems like he had enough for a while, or
yeah.
You know, I've acted and took a break.
Yeah, but I think some actors get softer as they get older, and then so they don't run to do as much stuff anymore.
Maybe you just prioritize different things.
Yeah, it's true. Phoebe Cates, who he's married to,
yeah, she completely basically stopped,
became a mother, did her thing. And every once in a while, they pop up at like social events. You're like, oh my God, how come? Why? What's going on here?
I know. You were always great.
Yeah. I love Kevin to pieces. Yeah,
Rick Moranis.
All right. His voluntary withdrawal, voluntarily retired and still won't come back. Still won't come back.
Well, he did it for the kids. His wife died. So yeah. To take care of his kids, to be a stay at home father for them. He had all the money he needed, I guess.
Yeah.
And just wanted to be there for them now that she was gone. You're like, wow. Makes all the sense in the world. And now they're gone. They're out of the nest.
Right.
Hey, and he's been like, I don't know, the last I saw, because I check in every once again, his movies, even if I don't care for the movie, I always enjoy him.
Oh, yeah.
He's doesn't so matter how good. Dumb the movie is.
Yeah, like Little Giants. I did not like Little Giants.
Oh, I haven't seen that in forever, really?
But I liked him in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's been so long, I couldn't, it's what, it's him and...
Is it Ed O'Neill? Or
it's Ed O'Neill.
Okay.
And Ed O'Neill's team looks like the Giants?
Yeah,
I like
think
the so. New York Giants?
Yeah.
Something like that. It's been forever. I haven't seen that. That's like that wasn't one that popped up.
Right, in your head.
In the queue of what I watched it is.
All right, what's your number seven?
Seven is another where I think it's the ensemble entirely. But
okay.
Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou?
Oh, shit. That's a good choice.
Because all the characters that come in are all so three-dimensional.
Yeah.
So to me, I mean, look, John That's Goodman is huge in that. He comes in as Cyclops, but I will remember that forever. And like, yeah. Son of a gun.
I like to point for the record, he said he'd remember it forever, and now he can't remember it. It's the irony of that.
No, that specific scene with John Goodman, I'm trying to think of the blind record producer. No.
Oh, Stephen Root.
Stephen Root. I'm sitting there going, Frost, first, five, who? I know it's oh, in my head. But that's a mighty fine singing and a dancing. He's blind. He thinks it's great. He thinks they're what, black?
Yeah.
And that's why he records it, because it sounds like a black spiritual.
He's like, hoo-wee, boys.
He does. It's just such a great, but it's boom, comes in. Can't remember the actor's name, but he comes in as the Huey Long type of character at the very end.
Whenever he shows up in anything, I love it. That guy is funny as fuck.
Right. And then the Ku Klux Klan member on the other side. That
right.
Secret organization. I think we all know what I'm talking about. I will remember him and the little guy that's with the mini sweep. Sweep out the corruption.
Is you in my constituency?
ain't this place a geographical oddity? 2 weeks from everywhere.
2 weeks from everywhere.
I'm Dapper Dan, man. That movie it works so, like Tim You're Blake right. Nelson crushes.
Oh,
John Turturro crushes.
Yeah. Holly Hunter's great.
Holly Hunter is great.
The dude from Seinfeld who chases them down, the one who played George's boss. He's the one that chases them down with the black glasses.
Somewhere. Oh, sure. Yeah, that guy. He's the devil in essence.
Yeah, in essence, the devil, yeah. And every time they run in, like the sirens by the water are fucking great.
Go to sleep, you little baby.
Yeah, exactly.
And then Tim Blake Nelson thinks that Turturro's been turned into a frog.
Yeah.
And he sees it in the scream of anguish. Some of the best acting in a comedy. You're in a movie, period. Just it seems so real. You're like, oh man, Tim Blake Nelson is killing it.
It's a great line. They loved him up and turned him into a horned toad.
Yeah.
Shit, and that should be on my list. Damn it. All right.
It just it's a great choice. Fully cemented. Like, I love George Clooney, man.
Yeah.
Clooney's I love
great
George Clooney
in this.
Just the range he's got. Just straight mugging at certain points, and it fits so beautifully in it. It's a great movie.
And it's the fucking Odyssey.
Yeah.
It's Homer's Odyssey
updated
shoved
to today.
Into a southern comedy. About these guys breaking out of jail. It's just so brilliant, man. It's so much fun.
So that's my seven.
Okay.
Six is Python's Quest for the Holy Grail.
That's a punt.
Okay.
Yeah. My seven is It's a Mad, 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 Mad World.
That's the one
you were arguing with Mance about, I imagine?
No.
Oh, interesting.
Didn't bring that one up.
All right. Well, let me just tell the young listeners who is in this movie.
It's a huge cast.
When you talk about
Milton
ensemble.
Milton Berle, Ethel Merman.
Yes.
Sid Caesar.
Yes.
It's got some great cameos too, but I can't remember the main cast. And this is from a guy
Tracy.
I've only seen it once. Spencer Tracy. Yeah, he plays a straight man throughout.
Milton Berle, Sid Caesar. I just said Buddy Hackett, Ethel Merman, Mickey Rooney, Dick Shawn, who's the son of the mom. He's the beach dude.
Okay,
Mama. Phil Silvers is in this. Jonathan Winters is in this. Eddie Rochester from the Jack Benny Show. Jim Backus from Gilligan's Island's in this shit. Joey Brown. All the Three Stooges.
Wait, is Backus. Is he Thurston Howell?
Yeah, Thurston Howell. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, so that's the level of Selma Diamonds. And Peter Falk is in this. Norman Fell, Mr. Roper from the Three's Company. It's incredible how many actors and the Buster Keaton's in this thing. Don Knotts is in this thing. He gets a cameo with him and Phil Silvers. Carl Reiner's in this fucking thing.
Exactly.
Like, it's insane how many people are in this thing, and it totally worked. I don't know. You couldn't – I don't know if you could – I mean, Rat Race is probably as close as you come, but those weren't like – those weren't like A-level actors that you get. These were A-level talents you were getting into your film.
Not
– how dare you, sir?
Look at it in the yes and no, because most of them went on to do great TV work.
Yeah, sure.
So it's kind of like there is a differentiation at that time within the strata of celebrity in this town.
Yeah.
So if you're a movie star in the 70s, 80s, probably through the 90s, that's the reason David Caruso, after NYPD Blue was a huge hit, was like, I'm going to make movies.
Right.
And he made the leap. Now it's much more fluid. It doesn't really matter. It's about the best work.
Yes.
Type of thing. So they made that jump. So within that, from the 70s, it's like, yes, Thurston Howell was awesome on Gilligan's Isle. And Don Knotts did a ton of amazing – he's a national icon. But he wasn't a movie star. So it's all that of
no,
people.
Right, right.
I'm not denigrating.
I feel a little bit you are.
It's a huge cast of amazing
– you can't compare that cast to Mad World – I mean that to
– Rat Race?
Rat Race cast.
Well, just in that it's like they're not quite alphas. So it's a collection of not – like John Cleese is in it.
Cleese is in it. Whoopi Goldberg's in it.
Sure.
Rowan Atkinson's in it. But then you go to Breckenmeyer and you get Amy Smart. It's not that really, you know.
No, it's a collection.
Jamie Kennedy.
But no, this one is way bigger.
Is it Jamie Kennedy? No. Who plays
it's Seth Green.
Seth Green. I always get those two guys mixed up.
Really?
I do. I don't know why that is. Anyway, that's my number seven. If you haven't seen Stanley Kramer, it's fantastic. It's out on Criterion. It's one of the funniest movies you'll ever see. It's all about a treasure hunt. Jimmy Durante, this is my personal opinion, Jimmy Durante is the guy at the beginning, and they're all chasing this $2 million treasure. And it's all the hilarious shit they get into to try to get to that treasure. All right, my number six is Young Frankenstein.
Okay.
Yeah. Of all the Mel Brooks movies, this is still my favorite.
Okay.
And like you said, this is a cast, but everybody else around the cast,
yes,
you know, lifts up the cast and makes it an ensemble piece.
But it's a small ensemble cast. I'm not denigrating. So each one of those people that comes in, like Gene Hackman, is very memorable
in
that tiny, tiny, tiny little part.
Yeah.
And I would count him in the collection of the definition you're talking about. It's like it's all these rich characters.
Yeah.
So they all have to be good if they're going to be memorable for these small parts.
Right, exactly. And, you know, the guy that comes in who tells him about his father, that's a really funny thing at the moment. The old dude who gets the needle in his leg and all that. Mm-hmm. Like all these little things, or gets kicked in the balls. Like all these little things are super funny to build everything up. But you have Gene Wilder, Terry Garr, Cloris Leachman, Kenneth Mars, I think, is the guy who can't stop doing the Hitler salute. Was I say Marty Feldman already? I'm sure I did.
I don't think so, but maybe.
Yeah, and then you have all these people that come in, all the villagers, all the things that happen are just really, really funny to help. And Peter Boyle, of course. Peter Boyle is the monster putting on the Ritz. So to me, it's a great ensemble of talent, and it's incredibly funny. Oh, and Madeline Kahn, for shit's sake. I'm going to forget the late, great Madeline Kahn.
Rolling in the hay.
Oh,
isn't that one of this?
Rolling in the hay. I love her line. She's like, when he finishes having sex with her, he's like, five or six quick ones, and you're off with the boys. Well, you better keep your mouth shut. All of it. Just incredibly funny, and it's set in the time of those old Frank Whale Universal Pictures monster movies. And it's a parody, but it also totally respects the material it's parodying and actually finds moments of real emotion within it. Gene Wilder, when he is freaking out about the fact that he's failed at it, you're just like, oh, my God. Like, he's really invested in his shit.
Sure.
So it's just a fantastic movie overall. It makes me laugh every single time. All right. What's your number five?
Five is Office Space.
Oh, nice choice.
Not on your list?
No.
Interesting. Don't count it as an ensemble?
I think it's funny. I don't think it's that fun. I don't think it's that level of funny for me that as these other ones are. I just don't. It's a, you know.
Okay. I just much like a number of other movies, even if certain aspects of it don't ring true, others do.
Yeah, yeah.
So you figure that the collective, this has resonated with every person on some level, whatever the scene is, over and over and over again. Like, I've never been in an office where receptionist keeps picking up and has the same high-pitched delivery on five words. Like, thanks for calling Initech. Please hold. Thanks for calling. Whatever she says over and over. If you sat close enough to that. I've never experienced that, but I can only imagine, like, all the frustration.
I have.
And just the day-to-day doldrums.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never worked in an office like that.
I know. It's not your jam.
No, I've just always – I've chosen to work elsewhere my entire life.
Yep.
I was thinking about that the other day. It's like the fact that I haven't had a 9 to 5, and it's been so long.
Yeah.
So long. I wouldn't mind like a noon to 7, noon to 8. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
It's the 9 to or 8 to be like, guys, why are we doing this?
What's the rush?
What sense? Exactly. Life is fleeting. This is all going to end for us. Why not enjoy it? We can still do the same amount of work. Like,
12 to 8 actually works because then you have the morning to work out or do whatever, slowly wake up.
Exactly.
Get into work. You work till 8. You still have the rest of the night.
You still have the full night. Even if it's like, you know, 11 to 7.
Yeah.
Fine. It gets me out of there a little bit earlier. I'm eating by 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Like sit back, relax, chill, but I don't have to get up super early.
Yeah.
I just ease into my day a little bit better.
I like 12 to 8.
Yeah. I'm working to the same exact hours.
Yeah.
But instead, I'm not – because I'm not a morning person. So the idea of consistently getting up, like it drives me nuts after a while.
Yeah, I understand.
I just don't – I don't fall asleep until late.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what I have to do the next day. I'm not falling asleep before 2 o'clock. It's not happening.
My body keeps falling asleep at 10 nowadays. It's terrible.
Yeah, so is Catherine's.
I'm right in front of the TV.
It's like 9:15, 9:30 some nights.
Just nodding off.
Out. I'm like, all right, babe. You want me to carry you upstairs?
That's funny. Lindley goes, get off the couch. Go to bed. Go to bed right now. I will join you in an hour or two. She likes to stay up. But she is terrible to wake up in the morning. Oh, my God.
I'm good about that.
It's 10 alarms. 10 fucking alarms. It's constant snooze.
That's what Catherine does.
Oh, drives me insane.
She's like, yeah, I know I have like 6 snoozes. And I'm like, why?
Yeah.
In what world does that make sense? Because those little bursts of time, at least for me, is not good sleep.
I agree.
It's just the constant fear of like, oh, this thing's about to go off again. This thing's about to, you don't feel like you slept at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know how you do that.
The mental thing about
it. To each their own, though. It works for the two of them.
It does.
Yeah.
For whatever reason.
They prefer that.
It's madness.
Starting your day with anxiety.
Anxiety and judgment.
No, thank you.
But Office Space is what? Peter Gal? No, wait. What's the guy's name? I always forget his name. The main dude.
Livingston.
Sean?
No. That's the football player.
It's a basketball player.
Or basketball player, sorry. I was thinking.
Ron Livingston. Ron Livingston. Jennifer Aniston. The George Michael dude.
The Indian gentleman.
The Indian guy, yeah.
Gary Cole.
Gary Cole, right. John McGinley.
Or John McGinley. I was about to say Ted McGinley. That's not right.
Yeah, John McGinley.
John McGinley.
And the dude who invents the hot. No, then the.
He had jumped to conclusions.
He's just a conclusions guy.
Great character actor. It's got a bunch of solid character actors.
It does. Words. All through The Office.
The other auditor with McGinley.
Yeah, the opening dude with the glasses.
Great actor.
Yeah. Very funny guy.
It is. Over and over and over again. Although, and Judge himself is the manager over at Flingers or whatever
that's
called.
That's right.
Yeah, that's the required amount of flair. The other guy, though, we never saw him again, did we? The other waiter?
No, I don't think so.
You would think with the number of eyeballs that saw that.
Yeah.
Because then there was like the O-face guy. I know he worked again.
Oh.
The guy's a lawyer that they ask about, and he's like, no, I've got a couple white, you know, criminal, whatever.
Right,
you know,
right.
This type of prison. I've seen that guy again. Well, everybody else.
Stephen Root.
Stephen Root,
who plays the Red Stapler guy, yeah. That was great. He's great in that.
Yeah, once again, he's never.
Unrecognizable, man.
Over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So good. I saw him in, he's in Bombshell.
Oh, yeah?
He plays a lawyer, and he's got a whole thing going on, and I'm like, well, I've never seen you wear things like this. This is fucking cool. So
sweet.
He's great at character actor, man. All right, before we jump into my five, should we take a break for this sponsors?
Great job remembering that. And because I have it written down and still skipped right over it. Not even kidding. Let's take a quick break and hear from our sponsor.
Cool. All right. Well, we are back. Can I step out and blow my nose real quick?
Sure.
Can we keep going? Can you vamp?
I can vamp. Right. Or we can edit it out, but I can vamp. It's not that big a deal. As John steps out, look, I think we can all admit he is soldiering through this quite handily, guys. It's been pretty impressive because his voice is a raspy. How are we out there gearing up for the holidays? So Houston, we are just waiting on one piece of paper. That's it.
This is an update I feel like I should have.
That's the only sentence I said.
Oh, good. Houston.
I didn't say anything else because I saw you coming back in. I was like, all right, I'll go say this now. We're waiting on one piece of paper.
What are we doing with London? Are we waiting to the end to announce that?
London, we are waiting on a piece of paper.
Oh!
That's it. So I sent back.
Welcome. You guys wanted the real show on camera. This is the real show on camera. Dig it.
I think they could hear it in your voice. You've earned some, is that unsweetened?
Unsweetened.
There you go.
I like to sweeten it, but not when I'm sick. or not feeling well.
Yeah, I like to do it myself.
That's for sure. I never drink sweetened tea.
When I was a kid, I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I only got it when I visited my family in the South.
Oh, yeah.
And my great-grandma used to make it in this punch bowl, and she put in 4 full cups of sugar.
Wow.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
My mom said she would watch her make it, like, over the years and just shake her head. And then we would run up and be like, man, this tea is delicious because you got the caffeine plus the sugar. I love it. Oh, it's that much sugar. It's just delicious. But, no, I can't. I like it, you know, plain, or I used to drink it with a couple Splenda or a couple Sweet and Low when I was a kid. But
that's what I do now. One Sweet and Low, one Equal. That's how I combine it.
I never dug Equal.
But you got to combine it with the Sweet and Low.
Okay.
It takes the edge off.
Well, Sweet and Low has such a distinct artificial flavor, but that's what I grew up with, so that's what I knew. I haven't had it. I couldn't tell you last time because I just drink it black now. If I have tea. I just have coffee, though.
I have my tea black. All right. My number five is Caddyshack.
That is a punt.
Wow.
That is a punt.
Glad to hear that. All right. Which number four?
My four is, so this could be the biggest where you could fight me.
Okay.
And the Big Lebowski.
That's my number four.
Okay. I had it higher on my original. I was like,
I thought it was going to be number one.
It was. It was originally when I typed this out.
That's an ensemble, bud. What's the fight you want?
Well, because it is so specifically from his perspective.
Oh, sure. But the movie is everyone. Jeff Bridges, John Goodman, Steve Buscemi, Philip Seymour Hoffman, the dude who plays Lebowski, like Julianne Moore, John
DeTuro.
Tara Reid.
Flea.
Stormare.
Yeah, Stormare.
They're all – it's an ensemble piece.
All right. Then that's my number one. And we should hold that. I went back and forth and I was
Are you punting?
Yes, we're punting.
All right. Well, what are we going to do? My number four, Lebowski. Okay, so then what's your number three?
My three is my number four then, actually, technically, is this is Spinal Tap.
Oh, yeah. That's your – it's not – it doesn't – it's a funny movie. It just never does anything for me.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, we talked about it last week. I think it came up like 2-3 weeks before that.
Okay.
But we did on the famous actors of – because I chose Rob Reiner because of this and who his father is and the amount of work that he's done, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Spinal Tap is dope. You should definitely see it if you like anything about rock music whatsoever, or actually the music business as a whole, because this shit happens to every caliber of artist.
It's a funny movie.
It is. There's a lot of funny to be had, especially if you like music and bands and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So that's my three. We talked about it a lot. Tune into last week's episode to hear the full breakdown of that. Anyway, John, now what's on to you? It's your number three.
This is going
to
piss you off, but this is my number three. Bridesmaids.
Okay.
You're not on your list, I know, right?
No, it is not.
Okay. Bridesmaids is one of the funniest movies I have ever seen. Still holds up. Still brilliant from beginning to end. Still fantastic. And announces Kristen Wiig. Takes the edge off Robin Byrne. Announces, not really announces Kristen Wiig, but like kind of shows that she can do the Will Ferrell thing, transition into movies. You got Melissa McCarthy, who's just really the star of the movie in essence. Maya Rudolph is fantastic.
Really? Kristen Wiig's the star.
Well,
McCarthy's the breakout.
That's what I say. Who are you talking about when you leave the theater?
True.
That's McCarthy.
Yeah, but it was billed as this is a Kristen Wiig and other comedic actresses leading it. So I think of it as a Kristen Wiig movie
with
a bunch of other. It is an ensemble, though. You're 100% right.
Wendy McClendon Covey.
Seth from Reno 911.
Yes.
And yeah, she's
Ellie,
great.
Ellie Kemper from The Office.
Sure.
Chris O'Dowd, who plays the police guy.
Yeah, the English actor?
Yeah, the English actor. Irish. Yeah.
Irish. And then, he's on Get Shorty now, if you watch that.
Which is good, actually. God damn, that's a good show.
I like half of it.
Okay.
And I stopped watching it because of that.
Half of the season or the
half
first?
Of every story, because I like him in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And I hate the – I don't mind the mob kingpin, the woman.
Okay.
But her son or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
All his storylines just drive me nuts of his ineptitude and whatnot. I understand why he's there, because he helps push – The dread element
that
you need. You need to walk that line.
Yeah.
But he just drove me nuts. And there's nothing against him. I think it's how it's they brought it together. Their vision for it is not my favorite.
Okay. But fair enough.
It's got a hell of a following.
It does. It does. Who else is the other? Oh, John Hamm's in it, of course.
Yeah.
He's very funny as well. Yeah.
But, I mean, it's all like – I think my favorite part is the – when she's in the car and she keeps – speeding past her, past him. That's my favorite scene. That's all Kristen Wiig to me. Just the stupidity of her trying to get him to break his, you know, juvenile silence. But he's got a point.
He does, of course he does.
He's got a point.
He's right to be ignoring her for that.
But the diarrhea scene, I don't understand why.
That's so funny, man. I don't get why you don't like it.
It's just brilliant. Filth for the sake of filth.
But it happens.
Really?
It does happen.
Widespread like this?
I don't know.
Then give it to me like they do in Topsy Turvy, which I didn't count for this because it's more about that. But they have the bad oysters and they have to excuse themselves and whatnot. We don't see them go in and turn into a piss and shit factory. Because there's really no need for that.
That's not that kind of film.
True. But Bridesmaids, if you exclude that, the rest of it isn't so raunchy.
It isn't.
Exactly. Had it been like that throughout, then it'd just be like, well, that was part of the color of the movie.
Right. But I thought that was a nice element of it. Because I think what women try to do with comedy – I'm going to be careful what I'm going to say here. But what I think women strive to do with comedy is to have a distinct voice about their point of view on things, but also still throw in – the universal human things that people go through.
Sure.
You know, everybody has had those moments where they've eaten something. Yeah. Like, oh, shit, I got to go. So to make it everybody, it also showed how everybody can deal with that situation. All these different characters and different type of people. You know, Melissa just goes right in the fucking sink. Maya tries to hold on as much as possible.
Maya's the saving grace to me of that, of her just slowly getting lower and lower and knowing that she has this canopy. That I'm fine with. McCarthy dropping trowel and just going, you know, homeless.
But that's her character.
With fucking cholera all over the sink. It's like, why do I need to see that? In what world is that genuinely funny to me?
Well, I don't know what to tell you. It's funny to a lot of people.
I don't know. I think you can go right up to the line. There's no point. Like when Jim Carrey is in the bathroom peeing and he looks over and sees the, you know, for a good time type of thing. And the guy shows up.
Oh, right.
Like take me to it. So you're still in that world. There's still comedy to be found.
Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah, Dumb and Dumber. Yeah, right. But I don't need to see.
What about Jeff Daniels and Dumb and Dumber taking a shit? You like that scene? What's the difference?
The saving grace is the little squeaker fart at the end and it makes him chuckle. Without that, I don't like that scene.
Wow.
I'm not even kidding. Okay. That one little note goes. All right. Fine, because it's squeeze. And look, in my life, I have farted a couple of times and it's made me chuckle or something.
You've only farted a couple times?
To make me chuckle?
Oh, okay.
Where you let it in, you're like, kind of like, I didn't laugh like that. But there have been a couple of times where, like, didn't expect that. It makes you giggle a little bit. You haven't had that by yourself? Like, you're just kind of walking around the house, one comes out, you're like, oh, hey, that was harder than I was expecting.
Yeah, that's fair.
So because of that human element in the all of this.
Yeah.
So I guess by that sense, then the Rudolph, that aspect of it should be so strong because I do genuinely enjoy that. Mm-hmm. But it's just the full.
Yeah. Like lava.
Well, like basically, you know, that's zombie. When they bite you, instead of vomiting out the blood, that's what it looks like coming out of your butt. It's like that you would be dead.
Wow.
From that amount of that fluid color, first off, is wrong.
Okay, I don't think we ever see it.
I think by their reaction, it doesn't. It can't be healthy.
Okay, no, of course it can't be healthy.
Yeah, this isn't something your doctor's going to be proud of. So it's implied.
Fair enough. All right. Well, that I love the movie and I enjoyed it. Paul Feig did a great job directing it. What's your number two?
My number three.
Oh, I'm sorry. Your number three
is Anchorman.
Why did we jump to my number three ahead of your number three? Did I just jump? That was my bad. I must have just jumped after you did your four.
I must have because I had to reorder.
Right.
With Lebowski, because that was my four. I dumped it down to four.
So this is Anchorman?
My three is Anchorman.
Okay. So then we'll go to your two after that as well, because we're going out of order.
That's fine, but you don't have Anchorman?
I do not have Anchorman. No, go ahead.
Oh, somebody doesn't like quality entertainment, huh?
I like Anchorman.
You don't think of it as an ensemble? Because...
No, it is an ensemble. I can't deny that.
And it's four deep. Then you throw in Christina, and you've got all the little side characters popping in here and there, and then the big throwdown fight, and now you're adding on all these stupid people with the ongoing strife with Vince Vaughn and his crew, and because it is, you know, it's a whole crew of dudes.
Of course, it's a great choice.
Jack Black comes in with a memorable biker scene.
Ben Stiller,
Tim Robbins. Tim Robbins.
Luke Wilson, Okay, Fred Willard?
Fred Willard.
Who played, and then Chris.
Yeah, he's the station manager, then the guy from SNL that's on Rick and Morty, Chris.
Parnell. Yes.
I was like, Pine. It ain't Pine. It's a P, though.
Yeah, Parnell.
It's the second one of those. I've had this one. I couldn't think of Stephen Root earlier, and I was like, fast. It's not an F. What is it? It's got a hard consonant at the end, though. That's where I was starting. I'm rifling through all his movies, every character I can think of, over and over and over again, going, spark it into my mind. Not happening. It's unfortunate. What are you going to do? Anchorman's dope.
Well, it is so funny.
What can be said that hasn't been said a billion times over?
Yeah. I just like Ricky Bobby more. I like
Anchorman. For real?
Oh, yeah. I love Talladega Nights so much.
See, I think the through line of the story holds me more in Anchorman, whereas the scenes, some of the scenes in Talladega are really stellar.
Mm-hmm.
But the overall, like him having to go up against, you know, Sacha Baron Cohen, because gay French guy and whatnot, don't really care.
Okay.
I mean, him and Andy Richter, Sasha and Andy are great.
Right, right, right.
But I don't know that that storyline needs to technically be in there.
Okay.
He could have easily just gone from first and like gotten into a crash or whatnot, and then John C. Reilly takes over and does well.
Yeah.
And there's like just the battle between the two of them. They come back and it'd still be the same movie.
Yeah.
Pick some other random and whatnot that John C. Reilly has to save him from in the end, or some guy they both didn't like that they set up in the first race, mm-hmm. type of thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know. But to me, Anchorman is, I don't know. The stupidity of it, the fact that it works.
And it does.
And I think that's the only way you get like a Talladega. If there is no Anchorman, there is no Talladega.
It's true. It's true. It's very true. Oh, and then, of course, to a lesser degree, the basketball one.
Semi-pro?
Semi-pro, which was right after, I think, Anchorman.
I think you're right. And then Blades of Glory was...
I liked Blades of Glory. I did not like Semi-pro.
It was – but that was – Blades of Glory was after Semi-Pro, was it not?
Oh, maybe.
And at that point, it's like, all right, like
– okay, maybe.
He's going to have a dumb wig, yeah. and it's like a ridiculous premise. Yeah. He got into a rut in my mind.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Repeating the same beats over and over again.
When I – it's one of those things of you're better than this, man.
Okay.
And then he does like Stranger Than Fiction.
Yeah, which that's I thought interesting. Was good.
Yeah.
I thought it was good.
Out of nowhere, but nobody saw it. But that's fine, man. You're putting out good work.
Mm-hmm. He can do drama. He did that Woody Allen movie. Good in that.
There's the one, I'm blanking on it, but he ends up on his front lawn with all his stuff and a neighborhood kid comes over.
Everything to lose or nothing?
Everything must go.
Everything must go. Yes. Good call.
Yeah.
Rebecca Hall's in that one. Wow. She's good. That's a good film.
Yeah. I couldn't remember.
Yeah.
That's, anyway, that's my three. What you, so my number two,
yeah,
is Punt from earlier, Caddyshack.
Okay, cool. That's my number five. Yeah.
Correct. Just an all-timer. Just an all-timer.
Everybody dance.
Talk about a movie that doesn't work and yet works.
It has no business working.
Well, because it has
no business. And it works.
It's like basically, it's kind of like our show. It's a bunch of tangents cobbled together for one thing that's an enjoyable experience as a whole.
Yeah.
There's a thread. We're better about the structure because it almost seems like halfway through filming, they latched onto this caddy tournament thing. Because before that, it's like we're following these people for a little while.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we're following these people. And then like all the backstories don't pay off. Doesn't matter type of thing. I mean, you do open it on the caddy itself and that big Irish family's got.
Yeah,
there's a nice stereotype that probably wouldn't exist in a movie right now. 15 kids, you know, type of thing. Although he ends up with a girl that's even – is she more Irish?
She's more Irish than he is, yeah.
But I mean, she's full on from Ireland. I believe that's what that accent is.
I don't know if she ever did anything after that.
She was good.
Yeah, she was good.
I don't know why she didn't.
Danny.
Yeah.
You don't have to win the caddy tournament, Donnie.
Yeah, it's full. It's thick.
Yeah. And then the Italian dude with the sleeveless shirt, like standard stereotypical.
Perfect. Italian. Perfect Italian, could be Puerto Rican kid.
Yeah.
That if you lived in a populous enough area, you knew this kid on the East Coast.
Yeah.
I knew a couple.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I've seen this kid, you know, when older kids. I've seen him before, type of thing.
I've served with guys like that.
Of course you have. Of course you have.
All of it. Yeah, it's so fun. And, you know, Ted Knight is brilliant in this movie, who rarely did movies, but he was great whenever he was
sad.
In him. Oh, yeah.
Well, but I didn't watch Mary Tyler Moore.
Yeah. Oh, really? Oh, yeah. For me, it was too close for comfort.
Okay.
That's the one that I really loved.
But you see something like this, I'm like, man, I wish you lived. I wish I had you now.
He is what Phil Hartman is.
I was about to say, he is Phil Hartman. But Phil Hartman, I think, was allowed to show more gears.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Ted Knight, Had I Grown Up, We Got in a Longer Run with Phil type of thing.
Yeah.
And he had the length of Ted Knight's. But Ted Knight is great. Dangerfield is basically just being himself, and somehow it kind of works.
So works.
I'll take two of these, three of these, five of these. Oh, look at this hat. It's the worst thing I've ever seen. But it looks great on you.
Looks great
and
on
he
you,
mugs.
Though.
I mean, he mugs just right there. It's so good. Let's dance. This weird, like, why is this in the movie? This is great.
So what? So let's dance.
But then Chevy and Bill on top of that.
Oh, right, right. Bill is so funny.
He is.
So funny. This squirrel.
Ridiculously stupid character.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That lives on. Chevy, the supposed epitome of cool, this country club playboy.
Yeah.
The movie's pretty damn excellent. Although we've had some people that have gone back to watch it from the show, us talking about it, they're like, it didn't work for me.
Yeah.
Like, wow, really? I
don't understand it.
Yeah, this to me seems kind of timeless.
Yeah, it seems like like I said, it should transcend generation, and I think it does for certain people. I just think other people just don't feel as much of a connection to it.
Some of the parts have been kind of beaten into pop culture a little too much. Like, I know the Bill Murray, like, I got that going for me, which is nice.
Yeah.
It was a meme format for a while. Yeah. I was a looper. You know that side?
My favorite, one of my favorite sequences is the priest doing the golf, the hole in one.
Oh, he gets struck by it. And I like that Bill Murray puts his clubs down eventually and just kind of scurries away.
He goes, ha, ha, ha. Just the mania of the fact that he's having the greatest round of his goddamn life, and it's in the rain, and no one else would be out here, but he's able to count them because he can still do it. And at the end, when he hits by strike, lightning when he misses the hole in one. And then later, when they found him, he's like, well, don't you disagree, Father? Don't you agree, Father? He goes, there is no God. And
yeah.
He's like, oh, shit.
Well, it's because you blasphemed, and he struck you down.
He did.
As a man of the cloth, you thought that you were bigger. You got struck down, and now you're bitter about it, about a stupid golf game.
The fucking Baby Ruth in the water. Like, there's so many great bits throughout that whole movie, man. It's so good. So my number two is Ghostbusters.
Was the one with Mance.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's not on your list?
Well, because I told him I view it – to me, the thrust of the movie is the action sci-fi element, and the comedy is sprinkled in to help give that world life.
Okay.
But to me, it's more so a – sci-fi action-y with comedy elements.
Yeah,
it's got a lot
of them.
Comedy
section always.
I know. You're right.
Yeah.
Because Mance kept going through and he's like, what about this? Because I was like, what are the really funny lines? And I listed off the first three I could think of.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, what about the one where, you know, are you the keymaster?
Yeah.
And she says no. And then he breaks. I don't remember him breaking the fourth wall, but looks right at the camera,
mm-hmm.
I guess. Does he look straight at the camera down the barrel? That's what,
yeah.
Don't remember it.
And then
like
away.
That.
Yeah.
I thought he might have like looked out to the side and been like, well, you know, fuck it, try it. I'll try it. Do it again. I was like, okay, if he does break the fourth wall, that's interesting. I don't remember it like that.
There's so many funny lines in the movie. The Twinkie line is hilarious. The cats and dogs living together.
Cats and dogs living together. And this man has no dick.
This man has no dick.
Those are the two that I cited off the top.
Ray, if someone tells you you're God, you say yes. The idea of the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man, that's a joke within itself.
See, I didn't know that was a thing. I didn't know about that till the movie came out.
Even if you don't, it's still a marshmallow man. It's funny.
How is that funny?
Because how do you think a demon's going to show up looking like a marshmallow man? That makes no sense. That's what makes it funny. It's supposed to be something sweet.
Really? You laughed
evil.
When it was a state?
Fuck yes, I did.
For real?
Yes.
Like, genuinely laughed. You saw a big marshmallow man. You're like, these motherfuckers have done it again.
I was like, these idiots have thought of a marshmallow man. This is brilliant.
Wow. No, I remember watching. I still do and be like, that's a really cool visual. It's an interesting movie monster. Like, right. I appreciate it for that. In no way did I ever go hilarious.
What's such a ridiculous thing to have a marshmallow man be?
No,
the one
I like the
kill the everybody
pulling the cloth off the table and the flowers are still staying. Like that's a good.
Yeah.
But then they go right back to the super serious. Don't cross the streams, and that's the focus of the scene.
But every one of their scenes has comedy in it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Did we need a Dan Aykroyd ghost blowjob scene?
That's fair. I don't disagree with you there. It's a weird. That's an 80s comedy thing, right? Obviously.
But the visuals are nothing short of stunning.
But he's not in a superior position in that thing either. It's a dream he's having.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We assume.
But
knowing that Aykroyd believes in ghosts, is this a fantasy that he's living out in front of us?
That's a fair point.
Makes it a little weirder when you rewatch that knowing.
Hey.
The visuals, the story, I think are all cool. Like when they shut down the holding container and everything shoots up into the sky. When I was a kid and still to this day, the visuals of that and flashing into people and like suddenly they show up at a hot dog stand and the vendors like this, you know, Looney Tunes. And it's awesome. I love all the chaos that creates. It's a beautiful thing. It just doesn't make me – it maybe puts a smile on my face.
It's part of comedy.
I know. It's in the comedy section.
Yeah.
Everybody considers a comedy. You're right. I am wrong.
I'm not trying to be right or wrong.
You're right.
I'm just defending the position.
On some level, you are. That's fine.
Just defending the position.
You're right.
All right, what's your number one?
One is the other punt, Lebowski.
Okay. Yeah, we talked about it. That's right.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, Lebowski. We've talked about it a million times. Do you want to go into it anymore?
No.
Okay.
It's the best.
All right. There you go.
It's so good.
It's so good.
It's so good. It gave me a Kenny Rogers song that I didn't know was Kenny Rogers until I saw that movie. Because I only know his big, huge, you know, country hits.
And this is Kenny Rogers before he's a solo artist.
Yes.
This is when the group called, I think, The Main Event or something like that.
No idea. I just know that's young, and you can hear it in his voice, and he hadn't turned into Kenny Rogers yet.
Yeah.
Well, at least how the public perceived or how he was given displaying himself later on.
Yeah, yeah.
But Kenny Rogers. It's so good.
Yeah.
I love it.
Pieces. My number one is Monty Python and the Holy Grail, the pun from earlier.
Okay.
That is just, to me, it can't be beat. There's no film that I know almost every goddamn line from. There's no film that makes me laugh all the time when I ever hear any reference to it. And what the entire Monty Python is in essence an ensemble, and then they play all these different characters in the movie. It's brilliant, and then you have the two old people there who are pretending to tell a real documentary and what happens to them. But overall, it's just, and then of course Terry Gilliam's animation as well. In mm-hmm. essence, is another character in the movie. So
for sure,
throughout the whole thing, and just all the scenes, and they're so incredibly brilliant. The constitutional peasant scene is fucking genius. Of how they break it all down, this idea. First of all, the idea that a legend like this could exist and that English people would like be, I don't know, what would you feel, would want to believe in a legend like this that happened some point in their past, right?
How could you not?
Well, that's something, it's ridiculous. Throw a sword in from the Lady
yeah,
of the Lake.
But life is so short and mysterious at that point yeah. in human history.
I guess you're right.
You don't know anything beyond, so... Like, you can't describe how – think about how fog happens. There's a reason that's spooky. You can't see through it, but it happens yeah. day or night, yeah. and it's this weird cover, and it always – there's that chill in the air,
yeah.
so you're not enjoying it as much, and they don't – the concept of evaporated water collecting into clouds at eye level doesn't make sense.
Yeah, true.
So magic's part of the world.
Yeah, I guess you're right there. But I mean, just the idea of it, like, and people nowadays who read the King Arthur story, they want to believe in that kind of stuff that had happened.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting. And then also, that scene is undercutting the idea of the ridiculousness of the construction of a government in any society. It's just brilliant on so many levels because governments have come about from the weirdest situations and the yeah. weirdest circumstances have combined to create a government. It's insanely brilliant. Plus, he's actually having this argument with this guy about how he became king and how other people like think that they're leading nations and things of that nature. So all of that is just brilliant. From top to bottom, this idea of chasing the – and the fact that they had to use the coconuts because they didn't have enough money to buy horses.
It didn't have it in the budget.
Yeah.
And it ends abruptly like that because of the budgetary reasons.
They were done. Uh-huh. They had no money left. So they had to end it that way.
And
it was
like,
so funny.
When Cleese is, in essence, the troll under the bridge, but he's not playing a troll, but something like that.
Right.
He was up on some perilous cliff that when they would yell cut, he'd have to like squanch down to as close to the ground as he could get because gusts of wind could come up and knock him off.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Got to shoot it, though. Yeah. Got to shoot it.
Scariest
I read something. He's like, yeah, I wasn't happy about that day. You're like, yeah, I'd imagine so. But it works. You pulled off a great movie.
The holy hand grenade is funny. The bunny is fucking funny. Of course, the French people are hilarious. You know, all of it is just so funny all the way around. And the little stories they all have for Lancelot and everybody and Eric. Was it? No. What's the name of the weak one? The weak knight?
The frail anemic?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Prince? Wasn't he a prince? Is that the guy you're talking about?
No, not the woman. The Eric Idle, and he's playing that knight who is like always running
away. Oh, I can't
remember.
Yeah.
Bravely ran away. Oh, I forget. Jesus, how could I forget it? Oh, well. Sir Robin. Brave Sir Robin.
Okay.
That's it. He bravely ran away.
Did you ever see Spamalot?
No, I never did.
Me either.
Yeah.
I don't go to that many.
Same.
Yeah. I would go to more. Yeah, I just don't ever think about it.
I think if I lived in New York, I would totally go. But because I don't.
True.
I always think of the touring companies as lesser than the originals, so I don't always go.
Yeah. You never know, though. You get lucky.
I got certainly seen Chicago twice with a touring company. It was fantastic both times. So you're probably right. All right.
Yeah. Well, maybe when we may or may not be in London.
Oh!
At some point, you can go down to the West End. I went to all play last time.
Yeah.
I might do it again, if we hypothetically end up in, say, London of all cities.
Yeah.
And, Houston, if you had a thriving scene, we may do that as well.
They certainly have a thriving food scene. That's
yes,
for sure.
There you go.
That's what I've heard. Certainly.
Stay on the lookout for that.
Yeah. We've got some announcements coming down the pike. But anyway, that's – oh, I'm sorry. Do you want to handle this with
No.
That's our individual lists for best ensemble comedies. Should we read them off to help it easier for Adam and Cody do the graphics?
That we will.
All right.
At number 10, I've got Best in Show. 9 is Three Amigos. 8 is Old School. 7 is Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? 6 is Monty Python and the Quest for the Holy Grail. Then I have a space and say, take ad break, and forgot to do that. And it literally stopped my list right in the middle, and I glanced right over it. Five is Office Space. Four is This is Spinal Tap. Three is Anchorman. Two is Caddyshack. One is The Big Lebowski.
All right. My number 10 is Animal House. Nine, The Royal Tenenbaums. Eight, Fish Called Wanda. Seven, It's a Mad, 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 Mad World. Six, Young Frankenstein. Five, Caddyshack. Four, The Big Lebowski. Sorry. Three, Bridesmaids. Two, Ghostbusters. And number one, Monty Python and the Holy Grail. All right. You want to put this list together and I'll go get the bongos?
Yeah. Okay. So commonality, Lebowski is number one.
Yes.
Man, I'm typing that out for the people listening. So I think Caddyshack, I can't recall where he had that. I think it was much lower. It might be Monty Python next because that's 1-6. Where'd you have Caddyshack again?
I had Caddyshack at number 5.
2-5. Okay, 1-6. So then it's Monty Python.
Okay.
Yeah. And then Caddyshack. Four. What else do we? I don't think we have another thing in common.
Do we have Lebowski already on there?
Yep.
Okay.
That ends up as number one, then Monty Python, okay. And then Caddyshack, and then I think we're out of commonality. Are we not?
All right. Ghostbusters, no. Bridesmaids, no.
Nope.
Right. Young Frankenstein, no. Okay. Yeah, let's break this thing down then.
Ghostbusters is your two?
It's my two.
Oh, that makes that easy.
What number is that?
That is number four.
Okay. What do you have next?
I've got my number three, Anchorman.
All right, I have Bridesmaids. I'll put Anchorman over Bridesmaids. That's fine. I know you don't like Bridesmaids. Just warming up a little bit.
All right, next highest for you. I got my four.
Okay. I have my four as well. Oh, no, Big Lebowski, where did you put it? So your four goes.
All right, this is Spinal Tap. What's your next highest? I got... Five.
My next highest is number six.
All right. I got Office Space at five.
Because we put Caddyshack on, right?
Correct.
All right.
What's your six?
Six was Young Frankenstein.
All right. And I got my seven.
Okay. What I got my seven as well.
I got Oh Brother.
I got It's a Mad, 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 Mad World.
I mean, to me it's clear, but I do have the coin.
Oh, my God.
Well, I don't.
Is it for the last spot?
Yeah, it's for the last spot.
Do you have the coin? You flipped this time. I flipped last time. I don't want any kind of bone of contention. Bone of contention.
Here we go. Here comes the coin for the people on video. You can't see that because it's too far away. All right. Randomizer. Well, you didn't like my song?
No, I liked it.
That face does not indicate
because I was tense about how you're going to flip it.
Beautiful flip and Batman.
God damn it.
Woo!
How dare you?
You know?
It's a shame.
It's really not.
Should have put it higher. Should have put it higher. Oh, well.
There we go. That's it.
All right. All right. Let's count this thing down. The top 10 ensembles in a comedy. Yeah. At number 10.
Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou?
At number 9.
Young Frankenstein.
At number 8.
Office Space.
At number 7.
This is Spinal Tap.
At number 6.
Bridesmaids.
At number 5.
Anchorman.
At number 4.
Ghostbusters.
At number 3.
Caddyshack.
At number 2.
Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
And our number 1 comedy ensemble movie is?
The Big Lebowski.
Hey, man, there that's just like your opinion, dude. All right.
There it is. That is the show. Yeah. Please be on the lookout very soon for announcements from us.
Yeah.
Seriously, we were just waiting on two emails. Yep. That is it.
London, get ready. That's all we're going to tell you.
And Houston.
I would say Houston.
Houston even more so.
Houston, get ready even earlier than London.
Yes.
Let's get real.
It's coming. And then Toronto, we move on after you, and then we got to start setting up cities after that. We got Ghana.
We got Wichita, Kansas.
Someone pointed out a long time ago that is a server hub, so that's why there's so much representation within the download list.
Showed to Wichita, like five people come out. Dude, tell us a joke.
We wheel in the servers, and then we just somehow hook in a live feed.
Boom. I like that.
Done and done. We will be out with more of that coming up soon. So please follow, go to facebook.com/groups/the top 10 show. And hit us up over there, or go to at Top 10 Show on all spelled out on Twitter.
Yeah.
And join the conversation over there, or patreon.com/the top 10 with the number 10.
Boom.
You can contact us either of those three ways. And me personally, at Matt Nost, MattKnost.
You can follow me at The Roka Says on Twitter and on Instagram. And if you want to be part of our Patreon, right? www.patreon.com/the top 10, number 10 there. Go see all the multiple levels you can donate or help to support the show, rather, and see what you can participate in and what you get in exchange for your support of the show. You know, we've got relists, we've got, you can participate in, we've got Topic Thunder, you can send in your topics for us to talk about, all those things that we've got going on. So, and we're always opening the door for more and more things, so please do that. That's it, I think.
Yeah, that is it. And we will see you guys in a week. Thank you so much for tuning into the Top 10. I figured I'd open this close, and I opened this close, and I'm now closing this open. Boom, there it is. Thanks for tuning in. Adios.
It's that little Chico Pitbull, Mr. 305, better said Mr. Worldwide, and I'm here to tell you about my new podcast, From Negative to Positive, brought to you by my friends over at State Farm. I believe that to have success, you got to play the game so that the game doesn't play you. You know, the biggest risk you take is not taking one. It's very important that you make sure that you make the most out of your money, especially when it comes to insurance. State Farm offers surprisingly great rates. They have great agents standing by helping you personalize your coverage. All this is backed up by award-winning, easy-to-use technology. It's a great price with an even greater service. When you want the real deal, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Does anybody want breakfast? Guys? Let's go! I'm leaving for McDonald's in 5 seconds.
Why didn't you start with that?
The Breakfast Stampede Meal. It's only at McDonald's, where there's a meal for every morning.
And nothing says morning like a classic sausage McMuffin with egg. Right now, get this all-time favorite for just $2 on the $1-$3 menu. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.